This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Who told you this world would be fair or perfect? It wasn't Allah. In fact, He promised that every last person will face tests on earth. We know that no trial will last forever, but still, why is Allah testing you so much? Is this a sign of His punishment? What response does He expect from you? And Imam Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah tells this story about a man in his lifetime who used to pray in the masjid for 80 years every single salah. And then this man's son died. And instead of turning back to Allah, he turns around and says, it's no point for anyone to make dua to Allah because Allah does not listen to anyone's prayers. He said, at that moment, I realized that this man was merely worshipping Allah out of habit, but he didn't have a relationship based in any knowledge or faith. And this is what Allah meant when He said, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ, that some people worship Allah on an edge. It's like they're standing on a cliff, and if something happens that they don't like, they just jump off with their faith. At the root of it is that their relationship with Allah is conditional, it's circumstantial, and it only sticks if He doesn't test you the way that you don't want Him to. On the other hand, look at the Prophet ﷺ in a moment that would have broke any of us in ta'if. إِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ بِكَ غَضَبٌ عَلَيَّ فَلَا أُبَالِي. As long as you are not angry with me, I don't care. Why is Allah testing me? When you're going through a series of tests and trials, you start to wonder, is this a test or a punishment? The short answer is that you'll find out as you live your life. The long answer is, pay attention to what preceded the test and then how you received the test. As for what preceded the test, if it came after you committed a sin or in the capacity of that sin or in the genre of that sin, so for example, you took on a haram undertaking in your wealth and then financial destruction came to you, or you got into a haram relationship and your family ties were corrupted, take your test as a wake-up call and an expiation for your sins if you repent. And if your test came when you were getting complacent and comfortable in life, take this as a sign that Allah is waking you up to maintain your focus on Him and the hereafter by doing more good deeds. And if your test came when you were doing good or as a result of your good, take it as a sign of Allah's love and that He's purifying those deeds so that they're only for His sake and that He's raising your rank in the process. But the only way to really know if this came as a manifestation of Allah's love or punishment is entirely based on your response. Listen to what the Prophet ﷺ said. إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَبْدِهِ الْخَيْرَ عَجَّلَ لَهُ الْعُقُوبَةَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَإِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَبْدِهِ الشَّرَّ أَمْسَكَ عَنْهُ بِذَنْبِهِ حَتَّى يُوَفَّى بِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. When Allah wants good for His slave, He hastens His punishment in this world. And when He wants bad for His slave, He withholds His sins from him until He appears before him on the Day of Judgment. So the consequences of your sins being faced here is actually a sign of Allah's wanting good for you. Whereas if you're committing sins and you're not facing the consequences, it's actually a sign of Allah's wanting bad for you. And he continued, إِنَّ عِظَمَ الْجَزَاءِ مَا عِظَمِ الْبَلَاءِ. And indeed, the greater reward comes with the greater trial. So the more you're tested, the more your potential reward. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا أَحَبَّ قَوْمًا ابْتَلَاهُمْ فَمَنْ رَضِيَ فَلَهُ الرِّضَى وَمَنْ سَخِطَ فَلَهُ السَّخَطَ. And indeed, when Allah loves a people, He subjects them to tests. So whoever is content, then for him is the pleasure of Allah. And whoever is angry, then for him is Allah's wrath. So whether or not your test is a manifestation of Allah's love or punishment is entirely based on whether you responded to that test with contentment and humility or anger and arrogance. Allah tests those whom He loves with trials to either bring them back or to bring them up. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا حَمَاهُ الدُّنْيَا كَمَا يَضَلُّ أَحَدُكُمْ يَحْمِي سَقِيمَهُ الْمَاءِ. If Allah loves His slave, He protects him from this dunya, the way that one of you would hold back water from your loved one when they are sick. Now, what does this mean? It means that if someone is sick and they really want cold water to help them cope with the symptoms of that sickness, but you know that it will actually aggravate the underlying cause of their sickness if they drink that water, you hold back that water out of love for them. Now, subhanAllah, you're looking at them crying and begging for it. But as much as your heart breaks due to their crying, you don't give it to them because you care about them. This is how Allah is with us when He loves us and holds back something of this world that He knows we so badly want. And the increase of pain that is then faced is merely the increase of reward. And when Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu visited the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was dying, and he felt the fever of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "It was hotter than anything I had ever felt." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the pain was doubled because the reward was doubled. But how do you deal with the disappointment of the moment? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw a dream of what he thought was Ta'if receiving him, but it was Medina later on instead. We too can think that Allah is sending us some much needed relief, maybe even as a reward for a struggle we've already gone through. We start celebrating with those that we love and start imagining a new life altogether. Because the same Lord who put mercy in our hearts also put hopes in our minds. So we start dreaming of all the ways that our life is going to be filled with joy. Then just as quickly as we get our hopes up, Allah wills that our worst fears materialize. And we're left feeling empty, alone, unheard, or maybe even hated by Allah. Because all we see is what was just taken away from us, not what was given to us. And that's the key. Ibn Aun radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, إِرْضَى بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ عَلَى مَا كَانَ مِنْ عُسْرٍ وَيُسْرٍ فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ أَقَلُّ لِهَمِّكَ وَأَبْلَغُ فِي مَا تَطْلُبُ مِنْ آخِرَتِكَ. Be content with the decree of Allah in both times of hardship and ease, for reaching the state of contentment will ease your worries and is better for your hereafter. And know that you cannot attain true contentment until you are just as content in a state of poverty or test as you are in a state of wealth and ease. And how can you request from Allah abundance in your affairs and then get angry if you think His decree conflicts with your desires? وَذَٰلِكَ لِقِلَّةِ عِلْمِكَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Perhaps the only reason this happens is because of your lack of knowledge of the unseen. If you could see the angels carrying your miscarried child, naming it and situating it in front of the gates of paradise where it awaits you, would you think for a moment that Allah hates you? If you saw Ibrahim and Sarah celebrating your newborn in Jannah, wouldn't you feel joy? If you could see the fresh construction of the house of praise Allah was building for you in paradise in return for your continued hamd, wouldn't you feel like your hard work or your hardship was worth it? فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَّمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا. And verily, when man is tested with ease and Allah honors him and gives him wealth, he boasts, saying, "My Lord has honored me." But when Allah tests him by restricting his provision, he turns around and says, "My Lord has humiliated me." But Yusuf alayhi salam, who had everything taken away from him, never said, "Rabbi ahanan," "My Lord has disgraced me." Rather, he said, إِنَّ رَبِّي لَطِيفٌ لِمَا يَشَاءُ. Indeed, my Lord is subtle in fulfilling what he wills. لِيُخَفِّفَ أَلَمَ الْبَلَاءِ عَلَيْكَ أَنَّهُ تَعَالَى هُوَ الْمُبْلِي لَكَ فَالَّذِي وَاجَهَتْكَ مِنْهُ الْأَقْدَارُ هُوَ الَّذِي عَوَّدَكَ حُسْنَ الْإِخْتِيَارِ. Let the pain of tribulation be lightened for you by knowing that it is the Most Glorious who is putting you through this trial. For the one who has confronted you with his blows of fate is the same one who has accustomed you to his choosing well. When the hardships in your life pile up, seeming like they may never end, you must remember that the entirety of the dunya is nothing more than a testing ground. And if this test leads you to anger and to hurt the people you love, how then can you begin to appreciate that it may be that Allah was calling you back to His love? You're not going to find Jannah on earth, and you don't need to. In the words of the Quran, in moments of taqwa, and in connection with your Lord, you'll find that ease is always lying in wait for its turn to greet you. But Allah knows exactly when to give you that ease. Perhaps for now, it's in your decree to handle more.
يصيبنا إلا ما كتب الله لنا هو مولانا وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون.